You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
It's not that early, though. Joining me is the All Marine Radio head chef. The one and only Paul Kimball Holmes, known as Kim to his friends. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Marines everywhere.
So give us, first of all, before we start anything, give us a weather update on the northern central plains. How's the weather in North Dakota?
Well, bright sunshine.
Yes.
About 15 degrees right now.
Wow.
Might hit 20.
Still?
A little bit mid-20s. The storm last week missed us and hit Fargo. We only got a few inches. It's the time of the wet, sloppy snow now. And the sub-zeros, though it was 2 below a couple of nights ago. But it warms up into the 20s, so it's going fine. It's getting closer to May 1st, baby.
That's right. That's right.
You know how I like that.
This is the part of year I did not like living up there because you're done with it, right? You've been doing it for since about November, you know, halfway through November when it gets really cold. So December, January, February, March, and then half of November. So you're going on 4 months of this nonsense. And then what'll happen is
4 months of serious cold.
Yeah, and then you get
and then you get
this tease of warm weather, so you'll get a little bump. And then what'll happen is you'll go back into the freezer, and that's when I would say I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I'm ready to be done. Stop it. But what is important though is that the thaw is a gradual thaw. And that way, when the snow kind of melts in the fields and runs to the rivers, it's important that the air temperature drop below 32 at night. And that way, the water freezes at night. And so there's just slow migration. Too much of warming means flooding. So that's how that happens.
Yeah. So, and only in North Dakota, when it gets to, goes up to mid-20s, low 30s and saying, oh, it's warming up here.
No kidding.
You don't think that in California.
No. You don't say it at all. The, I don't know when it, and I've told you this before, but for whatever reason, you know, out here in the 50s, to me, it's, and my kids now laugh and say, you know, Dad, when you first said that, we thought you were just, had become a total wuss. But it's true. Like, for instance, I mean, 30 in North Dakota doesn't feel that cold. I don't know why. It just, you know, didn't. And it feels downright warm after you've been through the winter. For whatever reason.
All the college kids are wearing shorts to class.
They are not, but people like to say that.
Yeah, they are.
No, they are not. Look, I had three of them live in my house. When it was in the 30s, none of them wore shorts, okay? But we understand the point. I wanted to ask you kind of a wine question, but I think I sent you the wrong question. So I've taken to drinking a little bit of wine on occasion, and I've seen to recork a bottle of wine. I've seen everything from a really cool looking kind of a heavy glass cork that replaces the cork and you drop in there. That's pretty easy. To all kinds of other technology used to recork wine. Do you have a recommendation?
Well, there I have a couple.
Okay.
Number one, you don't need to buy a any kind of bottle stopper like a heavy glass or rubberized thing closure that comes to a point. What you do is you take your cork, you cut about a quarter of an inch V shape in one end of your cork. The cork you pull out of the bottle.
Okay.
The side that's the top when you pull the cork out.
Okay.
You cut a little V in there, either side. And then you twist it back into the bottle and give it a little hit. You don't want to close it all the way, but you push it in maybe a third of the way or a quarter of the way, and it seals it just fine for a couple of days. That's all you need.
If you're going to use it, okay, so again, in a restaurant, you're going to go through that bottle of wine relatively quick. You know, for me, I'm not going to drink it in, you know, 2 or 3 days. It's going to be there for a couple of weeks. Is that cork still going to do what I need it to do? Or, because I see.
No. What you want to do is you go to a liquor store and they have a variety of, they take all the air out of the bottle, these little units that fit on and suck the air out.
Right.
And then it'll stay 2-3 weeks without oxidizing and turning into vinegar.
Okay.
And I would also put it in the refrigerator just to be white wines, absolutely, or rosés or blush wines, you definitely put it in the fridge. You want to drink those cold anyway. Red wines can be set not in a bright light, in a dark space. That'll do just fine. You want to drink the red wines at room temperature, or I like a little bit of a chill, like it's supposed to come out of a wine cellar about 60 degrees. It's when I like my red wines.
Okay,
but that's just me.
So if you drink wine, if you open a bottle and you tend to drink it in a couple of days. You can cut a V in the bottom of the cork so it slides in easier. Push it down and then give it a little pop and throw it back in the refrigerator and it'll stay nicely for a couple days.
Yes, for 3 or 4 days.
If you slow drink though, like Mac does, you'd be better off buying one of those. What do you even call it?
Oxygen sucks the oxygen out. And leaves a sealed rubber cap on the over the opening.
So what do you call that?
Probably got 2 or 3 weeks.
What do you call that?
I can't remember what they're called. But you go to the liquor store,
right.
And they'll help you out. And the prices vary. Some are high tech and very expensive. Some are very affordable. So if you have to visually see it. And talk to the liquor store guy who knows about wine. Not somebody that's just throwing booze out the door.
Right.
But somebody who knows something about wine. And then they'll help you really well and they'll get you with the right, you know, if you go in and say something like you just said, Mac, you know, I might open a bottle of wine and not get back to it for a week or two.
Yeah.
What's going to work for me to take the oxygen out of the bottle that doesn't turn it to vinegar? And that's the question you want to ask them, and they will set you up.
Okay. Here's an email. Interesting you're talking about wine this morning. I would be curious to know if the chef uses those devices that oxygenize wine. I don't even know what they're talking about, Kim, but you must.
That's what we were just talking about. That's one of the techniques. That's why you have to check with your liquor store. They work just fabulous. Myself, I used those in the restaurant because I wanted to keep, if I had, you know, we sold a wine by the glass, and we'd have a dozen wines that would uncork that we had to stop the oxygen getting in there, even with the cork on. So we would go have a dozen of these things, and because we wanted them just as fresh in a day or two, and we wouldn't take that out until we got an order for that glass of wine. But at home, I go through a bottle of wine in 1 or 2 days, when I drink wine. I don't drink it every night. I don't drink it every week. But when I do, I like my grape. And as you know, I will drink a bottle of wine. I'll open it and have a couple of glasses. A bottle of wine holds about, 4.5 glasses. For me, it's usually 4 glasses, and I'll drink 2 a night, and then put the V in the cork and sit it on the counter. Or if it's a white wine rosé, I'll put it back in the fridge. But that's how I roll now. But when I was in the restaurant business, we had to pay serious attention because some of those bottles of wine by the glass were $20, anywhere from $8 for saved our house wines that weren't that were left open. We did the oxygen removal process on those, but and find good restaurants. Not you don't have to be fine dining, but somebody if they know something about wine. And you want a glass of wine, they should use that process. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Now, there's a device that this guy's referring to. When you pour the wine, it goes through some oxygenator or something? Okay, what is he talking about?
Well, he's talking about, when we take a break, I've got it in, hold on a minute. Let me, just give me a second here.
All right. I know how to fill. Trust me. We are talking to the All Marine Radio head chef, and for whatever reason, we're talking about wine. I didn't know how to cork wine, which is why we're talking about wine. And then somebody sent in a question about, I don't even know what it's called, oxygenating wine. Is that what it's called? I don't know. But there's a device that's used to.
Okay, I've got a couple.
Okay. First of all, what's it called and what's its purpose?
The one I like the most and that I use in the restaurant is called a soiree.
Soiree.
S-O-I-R-E. E with an accent grave over the E, first E. And that is, it comes in a little, stand. And, you have one end that's rubber. And it's a little glass ball with these, dimples on the inside of the glass ball. And then a pouring spout.
It's called
a bottle of wine.
All right, hold on. It's called a wine bottle aerator. Okay, makes your wine taste delicious.
Okay. Wine decanter. Yes, this fits in your bottle, and the brand I'm telling you about is called the Soiree, and it's about $25 in the liquor store.
Okay,
but if you drink a lot of wine, and what you want to do, you want to aerate it. And, because if you let a bottle of wine, you cork a bottle of wine, and you decant it, which means pour it into a decanter before you serve it, that puts oxygen in the wine and helps open the wine flavors up, the bouquet, as we would say, and it speeds it up. Now this, you don't have to decant it, you just put it in the, take the cork out, put the rubber end into the wine bottle, and then when you pour it, you flip it over and almost pour it, three quarters to straight up and down into the glass. It won't come out like gush out, but it'll come out pretty good. And what that does, it puts oxygen in the wine and opens the bouquet and the flavor of the wine. Okay?
It certainly doesn't look like anything special. I'm looking for one. One of them looks kind of like a crack pipe, right? And then you just plug it in the end of a bottle. And so I don't know what happens when it goes through that thing, but something must happen. And then there's others that look.
Okay, I've got one of those.
There's others, right? There's others.
I know just what you're talking about.
There's others that look a lot fancier.
It's not as fancy as a soiree. It's simple, menu. M-E-N-U.
Menu.
And it looks like a funnel, a rubber part that goes into the bottle, and then when you look inside it, there's a metal screen with 2, 4, 6, 8 holes in it, okay? And the wine will trickle through those 8 holes, and that's what aerates and opens up your wine. And that's probably even cheaper than the one I'm looking for a price, but I don't have it.
Can you
that's a real nice one.
Can you taste the difference?
Yes, you definitely can.
You can.
Absolutely taste the difference.
All right.
And then, wait a minute, there's one more. I got a high end one here. You know me, man.
I know.
What is this called? This is called a Venturi.
Oh.
V-I-N-T-U-R-I. And that's a big sucker. It's almost like your crack pipe, but it's something you have to hold it. And what you do is it's a glass bottom that you put, in the glass. You hold it over the glass and then you pour the wine into the larger opening at the top.
All right.
And that runs the wine through this hole in the bottom. And aerates in that little hidden chamber in there and comes out the bottom. That's very fancy and, not cheap.
Okay. All right. It just doesn't look like that much that would have that kind of impact. I mean, for instance, the crack pipe, it's a bulb. So essentially, the wine goes in there, splashes around, and then goes into the glass. That's it.
Yeah, that's the one I have. It's called the soiree.
Yeah, the crack pipe. So the crack pipe, it doesn't look, I mean, that has that much of an impact on the taste of the wine? That's kind of interesting.
Yes, it does, Mac. Well, I'm just telling you.
All right, I'm not a wine guy, so I'm not arguing. It just looks kind of like.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, the thing about this, is that it stays in the bottle of wine, and you can push it in there, and it won't come out, and it'll be great.
All right, and then
normally I'll open a bottle of wine,
right,
say red wine,
right,
and it takes anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes for it to open up in the bottle before you pour it. And personally, I don't think you need to do that. But that's just me. You buy one of these things and you can open your bottle of wine and get right after it. Okay?
All right.
Those were great questions, and I will send you pictures of every one of them after the show so you have an idea, you can post them, and people know what I'm talking about.
I don't think that I don't think we've ever talked very much about wine on this program. Yay?
Usually not at all. It's usually how much I consume when I drink wine.
We've never talked about wine. No, you know, the only time, the only thing we do talk about wine is when we talk about wine snobs, and you're adamant about drink what you like. Drink whatever that, you like the taste yep. of, drink that.
And I stick to that. That's exactly the right attitude to have when you go into a liquor store. And when you go into a restaurant, a lot of times, if it's an upper-end restaurant, they'll try and upsell you.
Right.
And that means sell you a bottle of wine that's more expensive than what you need. And that's why I always say, what do you like to drink? And somebody, if you see a bottle of wine that maybe you've had before, you've heard about it, that's $15 to $25, and they want to sell you a bottle of wine that's $40, you know what you can, they can do. You just say, no, this is the one I've had this before, and then they'll leave you alone.
All right.
But always beware of waiters, because they get a percentage of your ticket. And when they sell you a $40 bottle of wine instead of a $25 bottle of wine, that comes out of your pocket in two ways.
All right.
The fact that it costs more and the tip.
And, you know, and some people, you know, are a bit intimidated when they say, oh, we'd recommend this wine, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a great compliment to the meal, yada, yada, yada. And yet I've always had much more success with your advice, which is drink what you enjoy. And
yeah.
Not that you can when you're in the mood, and if you want to, you can't and shouldn't try new things. Of course you should. But when in doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Don't be afraid to experiment, but don't let them upsell you. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Is when you know, if you see a bottle of wine that you've had before and like, and they say, and you say, how's this go with the fish? And it happens to be a rosé or, well, a red wine. And you go, oh, no, 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 you drink white with this rosé. And please, please, leave me alone, man. I'm sorry I asked.
Oh, yeah, I'm just here trying to enjoy my... Now, that, you have that from a guy who's a chef, okay? Yeah, leave me alone. I'll drink what I drink.
Yeah.
The let's change gears. Let's talk about your homework assignment from last week. Was every week come up with something that tastes delicious but is good for you? Okay, so do you have something
yeah.
for us this week that tastes delicious?
Well, I have a couple of things, Mac.
I have Did I give you my vegan? Did I give you my vegan taco recipe?
Yes, you did, and. So I went to this book I have called Fork Over Knives, and I sent you a picture of the cover of it. And they had some tacos in there, easy quesadillas, and the tacos are absolutely great, and you can do the tacos. You can do it with... any kind of diced jalapenos, avocados. I've even seen instead of cheese, you substitute tofu.
Yeah. Well, can I make a comment
and
about
they
that?
Make a cheese out of tofu.
I
if you want to go.
Yeah, I went to the it's Sprouts. I think is out here. There's one of them that's not
yeah.
far from the house. And they have a whole series of cheeses that have been made historically for people that can't do dairy, right? People that are lactose intolerant. However,
yeah.
more and more people have migrated to those cheeses in an effort, you know, to be on a vegan diet or something like that. And so
yeah.
I was talking to the guy about them. He says, actually, they've become pretty popular. Now, I bought two of them. I bought a cheddar and pepper jack. I didn't, the cheddar, to me, tasted too much like something else. I didn't really like it. But the pepper jack was acceptable. And so I'd recommend that. I mean, if you're looking to eat healthier, you know, just experiment with that stuff. Because some of it's...
Go ahead.
No, some of it's very, very good. And you don't notice the variance in taste. And that's the key part is, because some of it can taste like cardboard and caca.
Yes.
We don't like caca. Okay?
No. And really what I wanted to talk about today was the options you have that you don't have to get cheese. I mean, cheese is made from almonds, cashews,
right,
tofu, any number of nuts. And like you said, the cheddar tasted a little like cardboard for you, but the pepper jack was out of this world. And they can do Swiss cheeses. They could do just about anything. And the fact that it's going that way is the healthy food. It's really cool, I think.
It is.
And
it is. No,
and we'll eat corn tortillas instead of flour tortillas.
Right.
And if you want to take a corn tortilla, I remember going to this place in Santa Cruz on 26th Street when we were heading down to Body Surf and Surf, and it was a little hamburger joint called Freezing Foster's. And they served a taco where they dipped their corn tortillas in the deep fryer and soften them up and get them a little bit going, but very pliable, and then make them with that. Still the best taco I think I've ever had. And
that's not very healthy, though. That's not very healthy, though, in the deep fryer, is it?
No, it's not, but it's not, you know, it's gluten-free. And it does say you don't have to do that.
No, I guess the point is that you can still eat things that taste really good, and they can be healthy for you. You just gotta do a little work about it. And I'll tell you what, I eat tacos, I don't know, now probably 4 or 5 days a week for lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
Just throw a corn tortilla in the skillet, you know, heat that thing up,
yep,
flip it over, throw some cheese on it, and then once the cheese melt,
yep,
pull it out, onion, tomato, avocado, cilantro, and then
I like jalapenos.
And then I'll put a little bit of salsa, whatever salsa I buy.
Yeah.
I'll put a little bit of that. And for whatever reason, I put just a dash of Thousand Island dressing on it. And I know that's not, that's not straight up vegan, but I love it. I love the tomato.
Yeah.
And not just any Thousand Islands. I think it's Lighthouse. It's Lighthouse, no preservative, no GMO, Thousand Islands dressing. And I love it. So it's 90% like vegan and a little bit not, but so that's what we've been kind of talking about. And Kim's task is find this stuff that tastes great, that is healthy for you. And,
healthy for you.
Yeah.
Now, if you can substitute mayonnaise with a thing called veganaise.
Veganaise?
That's veganaise. Start V-A-G-onaise. And neonaise. An N instead of an M for mayonnaise, but a neonaise or a veganaise. And that's, they're really good. My wife uses the veganaise, mayonnaise, and I, you know, in a pinch, it's great.
That's the question.
It.
So what we're looking for you is, you would say that passed the Kim Holmes taste test, not in a pinch,
yeah,
because we're not looking for cardboard, but does it pass your taste test?
I like the veganaise or neonaise.
Really?
Either we've had them both, and that's what we have in the house is the veganaise, and that's what I make my Thousand Island dressing out of. Mm-hmm. And my wife cans her own pickle relish every year, and we have that all year. And so I'll dice a little onion, some relish, some ketchup, and then this veganaise, and it's killer. And salt, not salt, but pepper. I'm a pepper freak.
I know.
I pretty much put pepper on everything but desserts.
And let me tell you, and if you can slide it onto a dessert, he'll straight up do that.
You know me. You
I know.
See me.
Without a doubt.
You see me work that pepper mill.
Oh, my God. You're like, what did you just do with that?
Hey, what are you doing to yourself?
Shut up.
You'll be sneezing all meal.
Shut up and mind your own business. All right. Just wondering. Wondering what was going on over there. The All right. So
I do want to tell you something that we had the other day.
Okay.
It was absolutely deluxe. Now, Beth was rummaging around in the grocery store and she found a pizza crust that was made with cauliflower instead of dough. It, honest to God, it was delicious. And we put our stuff on it. I like the vegetarian pizzas, so I had mushrooms, onions, some peppers, and we did use mozzarella, but you can use a vegan mozzarella and put it in the oven for 15 minutes. It was killer. So it's just something. And then we've also done it with polenta. Now we do that in a pan with sides on it, a little half baking sheet, and then I'll make the polenta, and then we spread that on the sheet, put it in the refrigerator, and then when it comes out the next day, it's cold, and it's set. And then you put whatever toppings you want on that, and then you want the, when you spread the polenta out, you want it to be about maybe a quarter of an inch or to a half an inch thick, whether you like thin crust or a thick crust, to a half to a quarter of an inch thick. And then put your toppings on the next day and throw it in a 450-degree oven and then bake it off and knock your socks out. I mean, it's just, you know, you put a little tomato sauce on there and then build your pizza. If you like, you know, salami or pepperoni, you slice that up. And my recommendation is if you like pepperoni, you go buy a whole pepperoni and slice it yourself. You can buy that pepperoni that's pre-sliced in a bag, but it's not as fresh as if you do it yourself. And try and slice it. Well, you might like it thick, but I like them thin, and I like them on top of my pizza. And because then at 450 degrees, in the oven or 500, whatever, however high it'll go, the pepperoni curls up and the edges get a little dark.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's a little the pepperoni oil that pools in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
But I like pepperoni under this.
That was just straight up fat man talk right there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I slid it in.
Because when you see that little...
I know there's the people out there that like pepperoni.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just giving them options. sweetheart.
Attaboy. You know what? I love it when you're unselfish. Yeah, and then the edges kind of curl up and they get a little crisp, and then you get that fat that fat pool right down the middle.
But you know, that's how it is.
You can use
polenta or that cauliflower crust. Now we've had it twice, and it's really good. I was surprised. Was that cauliflower? I could taste the cauliflower, but very subtly, but you could taste it. But doggone it, it was really good.
So we combined the cauliflower crust with the. You know, and I'll tell you what, some of the pepperonis that you can get now because of, you know, how so much special food out there, you know, that have wines in them and different things are just absolutely delicious.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely delicious.
I tell you, the food scene in this country has come light years since I was a kid. I mean, it was pretty basic. And now... with everybody so health conscious, which is cool, very good. You can eat any way you want and as healthy or as non-healthy as you want. But being able to eat really healthy, like you with your tacos, is superb.
Well, you know,
I'm very excited for this.
Well, you know, we should talk about this. I don't think that you need to do it all the time, but... I can tell you this: you can't do it. You can't eat all fat, right? All fat man food all the time. You know, especially as you get older, you can't do it. So unless you have some kind of crazy metabolism, but even that's going to slow down. And so, you know, I think that it's good that as you do get older, get a little bit more health conscious. And devote a number of days where you're going to eat better so you can eat shitty.
I'll tell you what I ate this week. I had salads all week, Monday through Wednesday. I had salads with balsamic vinegar and olive oil.
Okay, let me ask you about your salad. Okay.
Yeah.
Croutons on it?
No.
Okay. Any meat or cheese on it?
No.
Okay. So what does your salad consist of? Romaine lettuce. We know you love that. I do too.
Yep. Romaine lettuce. That's my go-to salad lettuce. Because it's crunchy and it's got flavor and it's actually healthier for you than any other thing except kale. Artichoke hearts.
Yes, very good.
Marinated artichoke hearts that I drained and then rinsed in cold water briefly. And I threw those in. And then I had, roasted red peppers, and I had, cooked asparagus, al dente, diced up in there, you know, like half inch pieces, a little bit of green onion, and some, cherry tomatoes. And, I had different variations of that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
All good.
Yesterday, what?
I said, that's all good, right?
Yeah. You can use any color pepper you want. Bell peppers, roasted peppers, jalapeno peppers. You know, any kind of vegetable. Leafy vegetable, you know, green vegetables. You can even take a sweet potato, bake it off, and then refrigerate it overnight. Then... peel it and then dice it up, and that would be your crouton if you wanted it to be, instead of bread.
Whoa.
So
I'm serious.
You know, you just got to work at it the day before and just bake your potato off, your sweet potato off, and then there you go. But yesterday, I had Beth had some chicken breasts that she cooked, and boneless, skinless chicken breasts, organic. We buy really nice stuff that has no steroids, antibiotics, or growth hormones in it.
Right.
Kind of free range. And we had split a chicken breast, and I had a chicken sandwich on this multi-grain bread with vegan A's. And for my sandwiches, I do like head lettuce, which has absolutely no nutritional value. It was invented in California for McDonald's.
Awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah, true. And, and that was my lunch. And, Saturday and Sunday, we're gonna have a whole roasted, and we'll eat this 2 days. We'll have a whole roasted, chicken with, green beans and, mashed sweet potatoes, because it's something I can eat. And, but I only, in the morning, I'll have either yogurt and fruit, cereal and fruit, or, you know, like, shredded wheat, or oatmeal, or yogurt, and that's what I rotate for my breakfast with fruit, or we'll do a fruit smoothie. I have my coconut water, and then I had one yesterday with a couple of teaspoons of yogurt in it, and
okay,
strawberries, blueberries,
banana. We're getting too deep into your diet right now.
Well, I'm just telling you how I've been eating lately. Try to control my weight and work on it, and
those
are the things you can do.
Yeah, my point to people is that you don't have to, this doesn't have to be, as you go through life, an either-or proposition. You could mix this in a few days a week, and then, you know, so that on Saturday night or Sunday, you can eat the ribeye, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Mac. And as much as when I was in the restaurant business, I was a little bit more active, and my diet was a little richer. And, you know, having those creme caramels around me and Beth's cheesecake was pretty, distracting.
Well, and fresh bread and butter. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah. And you're making your own bread, every day. pretty hard not to have a little, 2-inch end piece and get some crust about 15 minutes after it comes out of the oven and cut the end off and stuff butter in there and have a bread and butter sandwich with the buttermilk. Yeah.
Right, that's awesome. Let me tell you.
I don't go there anymore.
No, the thing that I hate most about, I don't know, and I'm going to the doctor here soon to find out what kind of foods I've become allergic to, but the thing, and it's some form of wheat, the thing that irritates me the most is the taste of bread and butter that I don't taste anymore, because I enjoy that taste. And to be able to sit with, you know, a baguette or on occasion with butter is delicious. Absolutely delicious. And that's to not be able to do that. Come on. What kind of life is that? Right.
Well, you have to regulate it, and you have to eat a different type of bread. It sounds like to me that you have a problem with gluten. And that's probably one of the things they're going to tell you. I don't know. You sound a lot like my wife. When she used to lather up and and have a bread and butter sandwich, but she can't do that anymore.
The email. Mac, one of the biggest problems I find is, you know, when you don't work at home and you can't always pack your own lunch and you're forced to eat out, there's more healthy alternatives out there, certainly, but some of us don't work in parts of town where those are always available. So you're stuck with fast foods. Any suggestions? Fast foods. Well, you know what? I would tell you there's more and more entrees, you know, even at fast food places, they're trying to be healthier. So I would say, yeah, do a little menu shopping at your fast food place.
Right.
Because I will tell you, for instance, my nephew has Crohn's disease. And so he goes to In-N-Out Burger, and he gets whatever you call one of their burgers, a double, but he gets a double lettuce wrap. So what they do is they wrap it in lettuce, and lettuce essentially becomes the bun. Everything else is the same.
That's it, in and out.
So those chains will do that. You just got to find, you know, some kind of food that's healthy. You know, McDonald's, you can go get their oatmeal and fruit. And
you can get their salad. They have good salads there.
Right. And then my kids love Chick-fil-A. Yeah, for whatever reason, they love Chick-fil-A. And they have a Southwest salad, and you can get it with chicken or without, and it's delicious. So, yeah, I mean, I think you just got to do a little research about, even in those times, just trying to eat healthier. And so it goes.
But yes, if you pay attention to the fast food menus, probably 80% of them have options for you.
Yeah.
I don't know percentage wise, but I would say, they've been forced into paying attention to people's diets now.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Not everybody, when they go through the drive-thru or come in the front door, are going to look for vegetarian items or something. Most of them will order the Big Mac or something like that. So they have to pay attention to everybody now.
Right, right. Now, that's not always been the case. Normally it was, here's a menu, take it or leave it. Now,
not at all.
Yeah, not anymore. Not so much. Not so much. All right. Any big plans for the weekend?
Well, we have the hockey teams in town. They've got the playoff start, the 2 out of 3 against Omaha.
Oh,
that's Friday and Saturday here.
And this is for just to keep everybody up to date. This is for the conference. This is the conference tournament. So yes. That's going on. All right. How'd they do last weekend? Give us an update.
They played two of the best games I've seen them play all year against the number one team in the country, St. Cloud State.
And?
Number one team in the pairwise.
And?
They lost to them. They couldn't hold their lead, and they lost in overtime.
Both games?
And then Saturday night they tied them, and then won in the shootout in the overtime.
Wow!
They tied them during regulation, and then when they were 3-on-3,
yes,
they won that in the second overtime. So if they play like that this weekend against Omaha, they're going to be just fine. And in the conference finals next weekend in Minneapolis at the Target Center, XL Energy now. They switched it this year. They'll be in the national tournament. And the West Regional is in Sioux Falls. That's our friend Chris Samurai's building in Sioux Falls. So they'll go there. And the hockey fans are the best traveled fans in the country. They go anywhere the Sioux play.
Yeah, the University of North Dakota, first of all, there's nothing else going on up there this time of year. So any excuse to get, you know, and people are tired of the cold. Farmers been sitting around all winter. They've been out in their sheds working, right? And so everything's pretty much been repaired. They're waiting to get in the field, but they can't get in the field. So why not go travel and watch a little hockey? So, yeah, the University of North Dakota.
That's well said, man.
Yeah, no, it's true. University of North Dakota men's hockey team. They travel. Their fans travel like nobody on the planet for good reason too. All right. Well, first of all,
I flew back with the team 2 years ago to Vermont, and they had a little shed, a little barn of about 2,500 people, and there were about 300 or 400 Sioux fans. It showed up in New Hampshire. For gosh sakes.
Yeah.
And you're going to Vegas next year, right?
I don't know.
You got tickets.
No, we didn't get tickets. Are you kidding me? They sold out in about 30 seconds. Yeah, North Dakota is playing the University of Minnesota in Las Vegas. And they for whatever reason, they decided to play in a smaller venue. And it sold out in like 30 minutes. It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
It was a stupid move.
Yeah, it was a stupid move. So, anyway. Done by a stupid administration that we won't talk about. All right. Well, look, first of all, good luck in the weekend. And we appreciate your wine commentary and tips and your healthy eating tips. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I love talking this stuff with you, and you always are the best to do this with.
There you have it.
So you have a good weekend. Give my best to Colleen.
I will. Colleen, Colleen thinking about running track.
Is she? Good for her. Oh. You got a jock, another jock in the family. That's great.
Except she doesn't like to run, so this is going to be interesting.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
High jump?
I don't know. Do you think, Dad, I should go out for track? Of course I do. Go out.
Yeah.
We haven't got to the part where you don't really like to run, though. We haven't got to that part yet.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She needs the stamina for volleyball.
That's what I told her. I said, look, the more you do, whether it's swimming or weights, yeah, or it just makes you, it gets you a better physical condition for everything, for life. So,
yes, it does.
For becoming the FBI agent that she set her sights on. So,
is that what she wants to do?
It changes every 6 months, but yeah, why not? What the hell?
Hey, whatever.
Exactly. All right.
I love it, man. I love it.
Have a good weekend.
You too, my brother.
There you have it. The one and only All-Marine Radio Chef here. Don't touch that dial. I think Mike Musselman joins us next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.